CFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, if you'll take the chorus stop. Transformers, defenders of
truth, robots who fight in disguise. Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for your listening pleasure, episode number 207. Recorded Friday, July 8th, 2016. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Jim Black, a.k.a. Moroni Prime. Hey. And also Rick Alvarez, a.k.a. guy with the headphones on and a He-Man shirt.
Sup, ladies. Tonight I'm drinking Schweppes carbonated water, sparkling water. It's calorie-free, and it may have vodka in it.
It may have vodka in it. Okay.
Just love free calories.
Some peach schnapps. But we're going to talk a little bit about rare stuff tonight. And we may mention some things that you are aware of, but we're going to try to focus mainly on things that you aren't aware of or may not be aware of. And we're going to look at some images of those. And I do remember, you know, if we do put up images, we'll try and be descriptive of what we're talking about for the audio listeners. So just please bear with us. And also, since Titan Returns is now starting to hit the shelves here in North America, a lot of us are picking them up and getting our first initial reactions with these figures. And it's just... Well, I just picked up Nightbeat here, and and the head pops off. Yay. Head pops off the Titan Master. That's awesome. So we're going to talk a little bit about our initial reactions to actually getting these toys in hand. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on things that we talk about tonight, the Titan Returns, the rare stuff. If you're listening to us, you can tweet us at TFYLP, and I just dropped the head. I don't know where the hell it went. Great. You can tweet us at TFYLP or join our Facebook group, our Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure Facebook group, where the topic for this particular episode is always pinned to the top until the next episode begins. And then... we'll unpin it and put the next episode up. But comment in that, and we may mention your comment on air if it is pertinent to what we're talking about. And if you're listening to the audio version, you know, still feel free to interact with us that way. So without further ado, do either of you have any new Titan Return stuff?
Well, I've had a very frustrating week of pretty much going around store to store, Target, Walmart, TRU. I even stopped at a Kmart.
Wow.
And
exist?
Yep. Yeah, there's still those things out there, those Kmart things.
I've got one 3 miles from me.
And I was very, very frustrated. I couldn't find anything. And then, lo and behold, yesterday my dreams came true. I found, I hit what you would call the jackpot. I went to a Super Walmart. Somebody had just put out the whole case of deluxes. Ooh, I got ooh. Every single one, two of each. I went over to TRU after that. Boom! I see the Voyagers there and a bunch of extra sweeps. So I'm up to five sweeps right now, plus one in package. So I got to say,
Scourge is bad in person as he looks in pictures.
I'm really happy with it. I'm thinking I'm at five right now, opened. I think I'm gonna go for 100.
Wow! Yeah.
I've got over 100 Viacons, and I've got over 30 sweeps from the first time they did them in Generations.
So that would be
a lot of those. I got a lot of those. I might have gotten, you know, from where I used to work back in the day. So I think I'm gonna go for 100 sweeps.
Now,
I keep putting an update. Every time I get a sweep, I'm going to put it up there on TFYLP Facebook page for everyone to see it.
Awesome. Now, a quick question. Whenever Generations Scourge first came out, was it planned that was going to be a troop builder, that they would expect people to buy more and more of those?
I would say no. I mean, I think that was the year before I started working there. I know that for the Viacons and Transformers Prime, I kept pushing that needed to happen because that would be a troop builder. And so far, I've only found two people besides myself who've troop built them. But it was like, do we need another Bumblebee or do we need to put a Viacon in the case? So
well,
that's
it was,
we got two Viacons in the case.
The Viacons were actually not really easy to find in my area.
Or mine.
So, yeah. So
I saw one time. Ever.
That's because I kept buying them all the time.
Yes.
Well, the first wave with the Viacons, I think they were one per case. And then the wave after that, they were two per case.
Well, we're, in Titan Returns, you know, the hype for these toys were extremely high. Lots of G1... visual cues coming from a lot of these toys. It's like with Nightbeat here, you've got the very G1-esque face to the head. The terrible, I'm sorry, Kreb. And I tell you what, I picked up 8-Face this past weekend from our sponsor, Capture Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com. Picked up 8-Face and Galvatron from our wonderful sponsor there. And he is probably my favorite little guy out of these. But if you want to find vintage stuff, check out our other sponsor, Mega Toy Fan. You can maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with megatoyfan.com. See, that was like a smooth transition there.
Very smooth.
So but what you're saying is between both sponsors, you can get the vintage piece and the Titans Return piece.
Yes, very astute observation there.
Speaking of observations, I'd like to make one. I'm here playing with myself. And in my hands is the Titans Return Galvatron. I hate this little stupid, flip-up face crown feature.
Yes.
But I'm looking at the Megatron head underneath, and
it's pretty nice. You know,
it's got a lot of visual cues of Beast Wars Megatron, especially the transmetal version.
Yeah, I agree. I actually noticed that, but my biggest thing is that the only things painted on it are the eyes.
Well, it's Hasbro, they skip on the paint.
But my biggest thing, and let's go ahead and get rid of the white elephant in the room. I've got the Titan Returns Galvatron here in my hand as well, and it's initially you look at it and you're like, wow, that is like a badass version of Galvatron. You can't deny that that is Galvatron. But here's the thing. You know, I mentioned it in the Facebook group, and for our video, our audio listeners, I'm holding it up right now. I've got the face mask in front of the head. You lower down the chest, and you got this enormous cavity here for this little bitty face mask to go in down
that's
into.
That's where the matrix goes.
Yes, but you got this enormous cavity, which, you know, it doesn't look that bad if you go ahead and flip the chest plate back up and have just the Titan Master resting on the top of the shoulders there. Doesn't look that bad, but it's not very Galvatron-y. Incidentally, if I took my ape face, which I picked up at the same time, you know, he's got the purple, he's got the crown, he just has a faceplate. But, you know, ape face doesn't look too bad on there. My big gripe about this, if you follow our Facebook group, is that damn crown thing that flies up in front of his face. It swivels. For the video viewers, it's this part right here. For listeners, it's the part that the Titan Master actually fits down into, and inside the chest there's a swivel component. Well, the swivel action only goes maybe a quarter of an inch either way, and whenever you do that, it just basically separates away from the face and does absolutely nothing. Kind of defeats the purpose of the head turn. It could have been engineered a little bit differently to allow for a little more motion. But if you have Galvatron just standing there, Titan Master inside the mask, and you're looking at him straight on, he looks pretty awesome. But the moment you kind of turn him to the side, you can tell the face mask is like really set apart from his face, and it's really bothersome to me. You know, I mean, it's a missed cue. My other big gripe are the inner thighs that are hollow, although it's not as bad as, say, Power Master Prime. You know, you got those big hollow chambers on the inside of the arms and stuff. But on Galvatron, the inside of the forearms are hollow, but that's for transformation. That's where the fists retract into. So that's forgivable. But Galvatron isn't necessarily as big an offender about the hollowness as Power Master Prime is. I'll give it that. And that's one of its great features, in my opinion. But the other big thing is that the cannon fits into a peg hole on the top, or right underneath the shoulder. So it kind of limits, you know, because it bumps into the shoulder pad up here. And then if you want to rotate the forearm, which you can't, but if you wanted to kind of rotate the arm to where he's more of a, you know, got his fist pointing down and you know, with a classic Galvatron pose, you just can't do it. But I do hear there's Shapeways things that's already out there that can fix that. What's your thoughts on it, Rick?
Well, I like the fact that it's lower on the arm. That's really the way he kind of had it in the TV show, and I like my toys to look like the animation, unless they look like IDWA or IDW. I gotta say, I'm really happy with this Galvatron. It was one character when I thought I was gonna get him, leave him in the box, and not have one loose to play with, because I have the third party one, which is just perfect for my generation self. But I saw him there, and I didn't get a second one. I opened them up, and I gotta say, I'm really, really happy with this. It's a really great transformation. I haven't done the flight mode because I don't acknowledge that. But this is a really great transformation. It's a really fun toy.
Quick question. The arm cannon, that attaches, you said, a peg hole. Is that a standard 5mm peg? Like the average.
It looks like it, yeah.
Okay, so theoretically, it could really attach to the arm of, say, Combiner Wars Galvatronus and give him a more Galvatron-looking arm cannon.
You probably win the night for best mod idea. I think that'll work.
For what now? What's that?
To put the arm cannon from the Titans Return Galvatron onto the combined form of Galvatronus from Combiner Wars.
I had not considered that.
But I was also wondering, this is just my speculation off the top of my head. I wonder how easy it would be to be able to put the Galvatronus combiner head onto.
I've actually seen pictures of that. People have already done that because of the issues with the head and the faceplate on this. People have already resorted to getting the Galvatronus head and putting it on here with some minor adjustment. I think you actually have to take the port off. I think that the Galvatronus head actually fits down in that enormous cavity too. So,
really? And the head doesn't look too big?
It's
good from the picture.
Looks good. Yeah. It's not bad. I will agree with Rick. The fact that his cannon mode does look flipping amazing and very accurate to the animation, that I remember. And the transformation for him is pretty intuitive, and I have to give it to him. Pretty fun too. Just some really minor gripes, but it's just things that just make you sit there and go, "Man, was it that hard to do that?" You know, the faceplate is annoying. I wish that was done better. The arm cannon, it works, but it could have been if maybe the peg hole was a little bit lower. I don't know. You know,
the arm cannon works for me. The only thing I kept thinking about when I looked at it, when I opened this thing up yesterday, was, man, this needs to have a light in it. This thing needs to light up.
Now, well, aren't the Voyagers electronic?
No, they are not. No. However, if you kind of if you look on the back of Galvatron, there's like a faux battery door molded into the back of Galvatron.
Yep.
I can't see it all that well.
John. Well, it's hard to see on the
That's the almost camera. Insulting. And I gotta say, here's another comment I have about this Titan Returns thing. I was playing with my Skulls Cruncher and my Hardhead yesterday, and all I kept wanting to do, I kept flicking that chest because I just wanted that chest place to pop down. And I was looking at both their transformations, and I'm like, that wouldn't have affected anything if they just had the chest plate pop down. Even if it was just a sticker in there, underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It bothers me so much that it looks like it actually is on a hinge, but you can't. It's all molded detail.
It's almost like G1 Cup. It looks like he has knees, but he doesn't. You know?
So essentially, one of the main parts of the gimmick for Headmasters is not present. You know, the strength, intelligence, speed, and all that.
I'm with listener Top Shelf Rick at Shattered Glass Jazz on Twitter. He tweeted a few moments ago at TFYLP, been enjoying the Titan Returns line this past week. It is such a sweet spot where Headmasters meet Micromaster play sets. That's a neat way of looking at it. Yeah. And these little... The Titan Masters, the little guys that come with just the little vehicles. Nightbeat's kind of lame. Terrible's kind of lame. But I have to say the Crash Bash, a.k.a. Squeeze Play / Loco, or was it Loco? I think.
Why am I thinking Lycos? That's an old
No, it's the headmaster for Sweet Play. I think it was Locos or something other like that.
I was thinking Lycos. I'm like, no, that's an old web browser search engine thing.
Yeah. It's actually really neat. The arms for the Titan Master actually become the little T-Rex arms, and the feet or the lower legs for the Titan Master actually becomes the lower jaw for the T-Rex. So it's actually really intuitive, and it looks good in Dragon mode and T-Rex mode, and he's got a great head sculpt. And then
head sculpts.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Ron, welcome.
Hello. Yeah, my cable company just got our internet back. So, ta-da.
Ta-da. But Ape Face, I think, is the winner because, I mean, it's got a very G1-esque jet mode. Then you got the ape mode. And it's instead of having a monkey on your back, you've got a Titan Master on your back. So it's really neat how that goes. And then it's got a barely passable weapon mode. So I'm more pleased with the little $6 Titan Master guys than I thought it would be. I'm really, really pleased with those.
So the Ape Face transforms into Snapdragon, basically.
Well, no, it turns into the Ape Face Jet and also the Ape.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, the Crash Bash and the Clobber turn into the Snapdragon, which you could probably customize to be an actual closer Snapdragon with some paints. I don't have none of the small ones yet have turned up in my area. I've only picked up Hardhead and Scourge, mainly because the blur is too all blue for me, and Skullcrunchers got gone before I could get to them. Well, I went back the next day and they were gone. So
I have not yet seen any of the deluxes, but I haven't really been looking a whole lot at retail. I just get mine from Capture Prey and save the gas money. So,
I picked up Sentinel Prime yesterday at Toys R Us. I left Galvatron because I've got tyrant, so I really didn't need the Galvatron. Sorry. The Sentinel Prime is so much of I don't know if it's intentional or not, probably not, but there's so many Brave homages in that figure. You know, his train mode looks like the lower half of Dagarn X. He's got the same colors as Death Gary Gun to a degree. If it's not a Brave homage on purpose, it's a lot of serendipitous coincidences.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw the Sentinel Prime yesterday at Orson, the owner of Capture Prey. I saw it at his house, messed with it momentarily, wasn't impressed with it at all. The train mode just does not work for me.
No.
The shuttle mode is okay. Robot mode is okay. It's just that train mode. If they had just ignored that, I think it would have been fine. But that train mode just is a stretch.
Such an odd character to choose to do a repaint of, because you know it was probably planned as Astro Train first.
Yes.
And then they said, all right, well, we can't put out a bad guy and a bad guy, so let's put out a good guy out of this Astro Train. What good guy can we get? And I don't know what the thinking was to how they got Sentinel Prime, but now he's being forced into the comics in that ugly orange apparel he has. And I'm not happy. I'm not digging it.
It's just weird.
Yeah. Rick, you might want to take note of what our host is wearing tonight before you start screaming about ugly orange.
Yeah, well, he's ugly with or without the orange, so it's okay.
But I like orange and yellow.
Well, Durin, you and XV would get along great because he loves those same colors as well. So
they're not my favorite colors, but my favorite color is still blue. But I mean, I'm right up there with orange and yellow. So, but Don, what's your overall opinion of the Titan Returns line now that you've got some in hand?
Well, I'll be honest. I mentioned this on Twitter a while ago. If you had told me 10 years ago we would have basically an all Headmasters line, I would have laughed my butt off and said, you were crazy. But now we've actually got it. So I'm really happy that the line is there and the actual interchangeability isn't forced like it kind of was with Minicons, and that the individual heads, like, you know, one like the big the head, the Titan Master that comes with Skullcruncher, I read the back of the box online, he masks energy signature. You've got another one like Sentinel Primes that can help slow time. So you've got a lot of playability when you interchange these heads that doesn't impede the toy, like what Minicons did for Armada mostly and so forth.
And, you know, that's the good thing, too. It actually encourages children to use their imagination.
Yes, exactly.
So
now, if we could only teach them how to read.
Yeah. Mm. Now, I'm not going to be buying a lot of the granted, I've got, like, for example, I bought Buzzing, so Blur's not really high on my list, especially the Hasbro Blur, because of the distinct lack of paint. I'm not going to get the American Optimus Prime. I'm probably going to splurge and get the Jedi, just based on what we've seen so far. I'm not buying a lot, not because I don't like the line, but because I do have some better versions of those characters, both original and third party, that I'm really trying not to avoid too much duplication. But that said, like I said, I bought Hardhead and Scourge just because they look pretty cool. Granted, the Sakaar versions on all of these are... There's always been that gap between Hasbro and Sakaar. We've talked about this. We know it's all based on budgets. Hasbro has to meet a lower cost per unit than Sakaar, and we understand that. But it really seems to me that in this line, you're seeing an even bigger gap in the paint budgets than normal.
Yeah.
And with the yen kind of doing better for them, which is worse for us, it's going to be a little expensive to import some of these. But if you look at the Blur and the Scourge, oh my God. I mean, that is just – and I hate to say this, but I mean, they just blow the Hasbro stuff out of the water. But again, it's all based on the economies of the country you're in.
Well, as a collector, I'm probably going to get the Takara Scourge, and that will be my Scourge, and then the Hasbro ones will be sweeps.
Well, I've got Andreas, like I mentioned, I've got Andreas, so I'll probably just pose him as like a little mini sweep or something, you know. I just want to be a Scourge for some reason.
Well, that's again, scale, but you know, to me, the Andross, Buzzing, those are more masterpiece scale or more masterpiece.
Ish.
Geared, yeah, masterpiece-ish, than this stuff. So, to me, it's like apples to oranges.
I agree, but I'm also looking at getting, you know, once I pay off some stuff, I'm looking at getting Gewalt, Unique Toys Blitzwing. I'm looking at Fortress Maximus because I want that Cerebros. So, you know, I'm trying to be a responsible adult.
Well, I've already got two LG-30s on pre-order, which is the Weird Wolf. So, yes, I've got two of those on order because one of them's going to stay sealed and the other one's going to be open.
Now, Veron, will you be pack building?
Pack building.
They're wolves.
Yes, I get that.
Don't give the next BotCon any ideas.
Now, also, don't forget about is it Unique Toys that I sent you that picture of?
Yes.
The Legends class headmaster.
Yes. I've already told Orson at Capture Prey. I said as soon as those pre-orders are available, text me.
Because if they follow suit with the rest of the companies, they'll probably be sold in two packs.
Yeah. It just looks amazing. I'm getting two American Weird Wolves and two Japanese ones. Of course, one to open, one to keep sealed. My favorite character is finally getting his due, so I've got to. I mean,
let me ask you something. Do you have the BotCon Weird Wolf?
Yes, I do.
There you go.
Yes, I do. I was actually quite pleased that it was there. I mean, I was the only thing that was disappointing about that was the fact it wasn't a headmaster. But then, you know, I've got the shooter master Strange Dog that I gave to him. So at least he's got a partner now. And I'm like, hey, it works. So it's one of those things where it's kind of bittersweet. You know, I'm glad that it finally came around. But at the same time, you know, seeing some of the problems with this line, it makes me a little bit worried. But, you know, I haven't heard anything bad about the deluxes outside of Skullcruncher being a little floppy, or Skull Smasher, I'm sorry, being a little bit floppy. So maybe the deluxes aren't so bad.
Yeah, it seems the problem's really a Skullcruncher type thing. I haven't really had any issues with the other guys.
But, I mean, you know, all things being equal, I would have to say that they absolutely nailed the visual cues with these guys. I mean, you can't look at these guys and not say, that's not Skullcruncher, that's not Weird Wolf, that's not Power Master Prime, that's not Galvatron. You can't say that. I mean, it's
them.
It's them. I mean, and as a fan, I, despite my reservations with some of the hollowness and some of the execution of the gimmicks, I'm still really happy with this line.
You know, if I did have Tyrant, I would probably be looking at that Galvatron. But with the few QC issues on his legs not pegging together, and the way that helmet looks when it pops up over it, I think it was Imgo that did a review and said it's like a Galvatron wearing a Halloween mask. It just fits right around the front part of the face, and the whole back part of the face is uncovered. So it's like he's wearing a Halloween mask of some sort. So that's something of a disappointment. I think Galvatron was a big letdown for a lot of folks. I may be wrong, but that's just what it seemed.
He kind of is. I mean, like Rick and I were talking about earlier before you popped on. You know, he is what I wanted out of a Galvatron, an official Galvatron toy, but at the same time, he leaves me wanting for more. That's the best way I can describe it. He leaves me wanting for more. And I'm kind of hoping that the Takara remolds may fix a little bit of that, because I do know he's getting a slightly different mask. So they might fix a little bit of that.
Really?
Yes. He's getting a different mask because the horns on his head are different. Much like Power Master Prime is almost going to be completely different. You know, different feet, different forearms, different chest, all that stuff. So, and a wild Plasticon magically appears.
Yes, yes. You know, G2 never leaves. As much as you guys wanted to, it's never going to leave.
No, it's just you were trying to get rid of, not G2.
Hey, a Plasticon. Look, I'm G2 tonight.
And I approve.
Not orange enough.
Let me just say this kind of off the record, you know, kind of out there in the wild. I think we should just have like a complete G2 cast at least once, where everybody is wearing completely nothing but neon.
We should
at least once.
I can wear a neon thong.
if you want to.
Would black lights help?
Dawn,
yes.
I think I want to stab out my eyes now. Because even though I have not seen that, my head, I'm like, oh my god, Dawn and a neon thong, just no. walking around BotCon looking for RC in a neon thong, and
I wouldn't do it in public. I would just do it here, but you couldn't tell. So I'd be like, is he doing it? Is he not doing it? I'd just be like, you'll never know.
Headmaster Don in a neon thong wearing a pair of green, lime green flip-flops.
YouTube banana hammer.
There is your horror image for the weekend, folks. Save you a few bucks running Insidious. There you go.
But he's got to have the Indiglo blue headband and the wristbands to go with it.
Oh, and you know what I could do? I could paint a box different colors, and I could be like wearing the Cybernet Space Cube.
Oh God! Wow. Listener Edward Hunt. Listener,
I don't think I've heard anyone say the Cybernet Space Cube aloud in the last 10 years.
Oh well, I've said on both podcasts, the only thing I would have changed about the BotCon G2 set, as great as that's probably my favorite set, is that the box should have had the Cybernet Space Cube around the edge of the box. So that way it's like the box was like the window, the TV window, and that was the outside edge. That's the
hashtag,
only thing.
Hashtag missed opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hashtag feminism.
But listener Edward Hunt says, I need to have my brain washed after that, Don.
Sorry, Don. Just throwing it out there for the fan.
I think we've lost viewers, Don. Thanks a lot.
No, come back. I'll let Massey attack me. Well, he'll do that anyway. Wait.
In his thong.
Wearing lime green flip-flops.
Oh, hey, what if I put lime green flip-flops on Massey? Would y'all pay to see that?
I don't know if I'd pay to see any of that. But anyway.
Just beat this pick.
Plasticon, have you been able to see in stores or been able to pick up any of the Titan Return stuff?
Negative. I've seen nothing on the shelves. I've watched a lot of reviews. I haven't seen the review for Galvatron yet. But I have seen the Fortress, and I'm actually kind of floored by the engineering. I would say that the design of that Fortress is actually really, really good, although the official mode completely does not do what a city should. There's an unofficial mode that I don't know if anybody's seen it, but it's where they actually unfold the legs, much like Metroplex, and turns it in more into tower size, and it's much better. It really looks like Fortress Maximus. Nice. I personally think it's probably one of the most solid figures that's going to probably come out of that line.
Really. I'm interested to see how like Power Master Prime interacts with the Fort Max figure in base mode. I hear Power Master Prime and I think Blaster actually connect to him.
Well, they said that Soundwave can do it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that would make.
I mean, it only makes sense because it's the same mold. But one thing I'm kind of curious of, because I thought I saw somebody out there that was putting up some kind of silhouette of a God Bomber add-on for that Prime. I don't know if
that is heavily rumored. Yes.
Okay, because I think Takara is actually doing something like that as well.
Takara is completely redoing Power Master Prime. I mean, he's getting a significant remold. So much so, I think he's supposed to look more close to the original Power Master Prime than what we got here, which is why I justified getting both. I'm getting the U.S. one and the Japanese one.
So what you're saying is they're not doing Power Master Prime at all. They're doing Jinrai.
Yes.
Okay.
The thing is the reason I justify that is Power Master Prime, for me, as a kid, was my very first Optimus Prime. Even though I started back in 84, I was never able to get an actual original Optimus Prime until Power Master Prime came along. I was so happy. I mean, up until then, Ultra Magnus and his white cab, my white cab Ultra Magnus was my dead Optimus Prime ghost. whenever I played. Whenever Power Master Prime came along, I was a happy little kid. I remember my brother got it for me for Christmas. And so I have a little sentimental attachment to the toy and character.
The U.S. version wasn't as good as the Japanese version for the original toy, but honestly, it really wasn't that bad of a toy in the first place. It was actually really well engineered. This new one actually looks a lot like it, and I really like the design. From what I've seen, though, I mean, I love the idea that the Headmaster gimmick actually sits inside the cab as if he's driving it, which is kind of cool.
Well,
I'm glad that they didn't leave that out.
However, there is a caveat, and for the video viewers, you'll be able to see this, but for the audio viewers, I'm splitting open the cab for Power Master Prime, and all that neat detail that's in the Ultra Magnus mold that's where Minimus Ambus sits inside the cab is completely gutted for Power Master Prime. Essentially, the head, the helmet flops down inside this cavity and just floats there, and that's where the Titan Master actually sits on the back of the neck as if it's a seat. But all that neat detail that's in the Ultra Magnus mold that's inside the cab, like the little controls and stuff like that, they're all gone in Power Master Prime. It's completely...
I'm kind of wondering, because as much as these add-on kits we've been seeing lately coming out just for Combiner Wars, do you guys think maybe somebody out there in third-party world might come up with something that just kind of clicks in and fills in that back portion so that way the head can still fold in?
It's entirely possible, but I don't really know if it's needed. I mean, exactly. It's noticeably gone, and I wish it was there, but I'm not hurt that it's not, you know, if that makes any sense.
I mean, how often are you going to play with the inside of your Transformer?
Well, you got those guys out there that really are kind of sticklers. It's like, think about how many add-on variations that they came out with for Combiner Wars Devastator. I mean, there was one that literally just got done released about a month and a half, 2 months ago, like a new set. And it's like, how many add-on kits do we possibly need for this one toy?
Well, you know? I do know that Renderform is actually coming up with Power Master Prime rifles.
Yes, he is.
So.
And if anybody has not watched it, I actually did the video review of the add-on guns for the G2 Minasaur set. He's also done a set just like that for the G1 Minasaur for the Combiner Wars. Quality is top-notch, and Renderforms is the guy to go to for those kind of add-ons. Like, if you're just wanting guns, he'll fill the bill. He's also got a few head sculpts as well that he's been really trying to push out there. Definitely. But I think they're pretty cool.
I agree. So initial reactions to Titan Returns as a group, I would say that we're generally pleased with what we've got, with some minor frustrations and disappointments. Would you say that's general across the board? Yeah. You know, look for them in your stores now. I know some Walmarts are getting them. Toys R Us's are getting them left and right. And, of course, our sponsors like Captured Prey have got them in stock right now as well. So check them out. So let's move on to our main topic of discussion tonight. Rick actually prepared a slideshow and for Don and Jason, since you popped on late, I want to remind both of you, whenever we're talking about things that are on screen that our video viewers can see, please be sure to be descriptive about what you're talking about and mention what character we're actually talking about. That way people's not sitting there listening going, what the hell are they talking about? So let's try to avoid that.
Well, people often wonder what we're talking about anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're like, what the hell are these guys? Are they like drinking Schweppes with vodka in it or something? You know,
I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
We got Tally here. He has no idea what's going on. So, before you know it, Jim will be asking for tacos.
It's not Taco Tuesday, buddy. Not yet, anyway.
What's wrong with tacos?
It's not Tuesday.
But Rare Transformers, Rick, you've got a lot of experience in this realm here and knowledge on Rare Transformers.
Yeah.
Kick us off with this.
All right. So let's screen share here. Let's get our technology glitches out of the way. How do I screen share here?
Okay.
I'm going to go to screen share button.
Yes.
And then I'm going to go to desktop.
Whichever screen is actually showing what you're wanting to show right now, click on that.
Start screen share.
Yeah. And then present to everyone up there at the top.
Present to everyone.
Yes.
I don't see a button that says
present. Should to be everyone. Up there at the top.
Try doing the screen share again because I saw it flip on and come off, went off.
Well, if it's up, present to everyone button should be up at the top near where like the hang-up button is.
You are screen sharing them.
Okay. Yes.
All right. So you see me now.
I'm hot.
Yes.
Yes. There we go.
Love the wallpaper.
That picture looked familiar.
All right. Let's go Sad show. All right, so here we go. Now this is a presentation. Just some rare Transformers out there. It's not the end all be all of rare Transformers. We excluded lucky draws from this just because, even though they are rare and quite limited, they have been photographed a lot. They have been seen a lot. So these are things that maybe you haven't seen or haven't heard of before, which often don't pop up on eBay or on the secondary market. So we'll focus mostly on G1 tonight, but we'll throw in some other stuff in there at the end. So our first slide here, what we're looking at, this is the Japanese 1985 Reflector gift set. In Japan, Reflector was available in this gift set, unlike the mail away, as he was here domestically. So rare, I don't have one of these in my collection yet.
But our own Brycey does, because he's photographed it.
He does. He has quite the collection, and he's a good photographer.
Yes.
So, Don, chime in whenever you see something that you have here. Megatron. So this is the original 1984 Megatron, but in Japan it was available just the gun, not the rifle extensions.
Oh.
So you can just buy that Megatron. He had the sword, which did not come out in the United States. I believe this doesn't have the scope with it. Maybe it does have the scope.
No chrome.
And it has no chrome. The inside of it is red. His inner arms and inner legs are red. There is another version out there from another release that has blue on it. But this is the non-chrome version, and this non-chrome version actually fires the pellets. And he actually came with the pellets, too. I think it was 15 pellets, or maybe 12 pellets. And
I think you're right on the 15, because the KO version that fires the pellets that has all the add-on kits.
Well,
I believe it did come with 15, because it came with two sprues of them.
Didn't the TFC reissue of Megatron have the firing gimmick with the pellets? I believe it did.
Maybe, but this is like back, you know, 84.
Yeah.
So this is like, okay, something that market got, the Japanese market had, but our market did not, an actually firing Megatron gun.
Which is a shame. I wish we'd got that here.
Yeah. Think about how much fun you would have had playing with a Megatron that actually shot at Prime.
Yes.
Okay. We're looking at, again, Dom, chime in whenever you have one of these sets.
I doubt I'll be chiming in on it, because you've already, the rarest thing I've got is a lucky draw, and that's probably, and that doesn't count, so.
The rarest things I've got are these.
So this, for our audio listeners, this is the VSY gift set. This is another Japanese gift set. This gift set is G1 Grimlock with G1 Soundwave and Frenzy in the package together. So it's basically a three-pack, Grimlock, Frenzy, Soundwave. It came with an audio tape, which is not pictured here for our people joining us on YouTube.
I was wondering about that gap.
Yeah, so they're in an actual audio tape. I wasn't sure what's on the audio tape. I think it's a story. Could just be a bunch of swear words. I don't know.
It's one of those books on tape, like when continents collide or
Satellite. Yeah, as read by William Shatner. So this is one of the rare sets out there. I've seen a few of these for sale in my day, but this is still in my top 10 of vintage G1 things to obtain one day.
Now, are the molds any different from the original releases?
As far as I can tell, they're not. Then again, I really haven't played with the inside of them. I have never opened a set up to look on the inside. Here's the actual inside of the box for our YouTube viewers.
Well, to be honest, I'm looking at the head sculpt on Soundwave, and if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Soundwave's face completely like silver? Because this looks like it's black or like.
Well, really, it looks like the face mask is not painted on him.
Or something.
It is painted. Yeah, I think it might just be the brightness on your computers.
Yeah. And now the Soundwave has the rub sign on the chest. But wasn't there a running change when it was changed to the Decepticon symbol? Or was that
right? So the original one did not have the rub sign, but this is not a sealed box, so we don't know if these figures were replaced.
Oh, okay. Mm.
But my guess is because you have the Grimlock in there, this was a 1985 released item, so which means you would have the rub signs on there.
And the booklet looks like a storybook, isn't it?
I seem to recall once upon a time having seen a Soundwave where the rub sign was on the battery cover on the back. Is that a thing?
You know, it's possible. I have at least three different versions of Soundwave, and the differences are mostly in the fist, whether he has a gap in the fist or no gap, or a gap with a slit, a piece of plastic between that gap. It's like the Seeker. There's a lot of different Seeker hands and variants on those, and it's possible there was a Soundwave out there with the decal on the back.
I believe mine had it that way, Jim, actually, the one I had as a kid. I believe you're right there.
But on the clip portion, if I'm not mistaken, and then there was a standard, just regular Decepticon symbol on the chest.
Mm. Okay, so this is sorry for the blurry pic. These are images I got off Google. This is the VSZ gift set. This was the first gift set I ever found out about as being a Japanese exclusive. This is an odd choice of characters. It's Sunstreaker, Skids, and Buzzsaw in a three-pack.
Why? That's the big question. Why?
So, I mean, I feel like Buzzsaw is a little outnumbered here. He's like a little outgunned because you got Skids, you know, Mr. One-Liner, and then you got Sunstreaker, and you got this little guy that turns into a tape.
Well, was Buzzsaw available any other way in Japan that you're aware of? Or any of these toys, actually?
Yeah, Sunstreaker was available. I can't remember off the top of my head if Buzzsaw came with Soundwave or not.
I'm kind of wondering, do you think this came out the same time as that two-pack we just got done looking at with Grimlock and Soundwave? Maybe this was like a counterpart or something to go with it.
Yeah, that's the VS series. So the other one was the it's the VSY. This is the VSC.
Okay, so yeah, it probably would make sense that they would release another cassette tape like that to go with Soundwave versus just a whole nerd Decepticon in general.
So these are harder to get gift sets. These are items that go for in excess of $1,000, maybe more, depending on condition. And this is a shot of the inside.
Wow.
Just so you could see how it was packaged. It's styrofoam packaging.
I bet you the little foam inserts that are going across this, the waist of the robots would be really difficult to find if they were missing. Because I know a lot of people are really about like the foam packing being complete. And that would be probably a pretty big nightmare to try to find, you know, the original bits. If you found one that was actually open box that wasn't completely packaged back to the way it was.
Well, if you found one of these, you should just be happy that you have it.
Yeah.
And not worry about a piece of styrofoam that you can't see when the insert is in the box.
Right. It makes sense, but there are some people who are being.
I have seen this set in person.
So sorry again for the blurry image. This is the VSX gift set. This is Generation 1 Optimus Prime packaged with Generation 1 Megatron together in one box. I think the last time I saw one of these for sale, it went for over $5,000.
That's the blue Megatron, is it not?
That is the blue Megatron. Yeah, so it's the non-chrome Megatron, which was available in Japan, not in the U.S., and the inside of the arms and the inside of the legs are blue. Now, Optimus does come with his trailer here in this package. I don't remember if Megatron comes with the rifle accessories or not.
Oh, so basically the Prime is complete.
Yeah, Prime has a trailer going across the top of the box, which you can't see when they're in package. Here's another shot of it from a different angle.
Did that Megatron actually fire?
I haven't opened one of these boxes up, so I don't know if this one fires, but I'm going to guess it does, because I have the Goodbye Megatron gift set, which came out after this, and it still has the firing mechanism in it.
So it's amazing how Japan got Optimus Prime and Megatron in so many different ways, and we just had them, like, individually boxed.
Yeah. Well, I wish that marketing back in the 80s could see the opportunity of packaging the two leaders together and presenting that as, like, a holiday item. I don't think that mentality was there back then. I could have seen this across the line with, like, Mask, G.I. Joe, a He-Man Skeletor 2-pack. That would have been perfect for the holiday season.
We do see some of this today. I mean, hasn't there been, like, Transformer American releases, like holiday 2-packs, Prime and Megatron? Seems like I've seen that before.
Yeah, there's certainly some Black Friday deals. But nothing as cool as what we're seeing, where you got the two leaders packaged together.
Right.
So here's another one.
I think the closest we got to something like that would be maybe like Prime in the first edition box set.
So this is another gift set. This was at the end run of G1, right as they were switching to the Hot Rod, Cup, Rodimus Prime characters. This is called the Goodbye Convoy gift set. This gift set is a G1 Japanese gift set. It has Optimus Prime, Mirage, and Red Alert in it. It's a 3-pack of these characters.
Again, random Mirage and Red Alert with Prime. Why?
Yeah, see, a good marketer back in the day would have said, you know what, we need to make the Mirage clear on this one.
Yeah.
So there is a variant on this Optimus Prime. The Optimus Prime, the piece of plastic behind his chest, that's the windows, is actually blue and not clear. It's clear blue. It's not, like, transparent clear, like all the other versions.
Yeah, and if they really wanted to make this, like, commercial accurate, they would have a little kid included that shouts, "Convoy!" You know.
With the smoking father in the background.
Yes. Edward Hunt did say that the VSX package, the Megatron, did not come with gun accessories.
Ah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Edward, for pointing that out. But, you know, so, okay, so he did come with his trailer in this one.
Yes. So this is the inside look, the styrofoam packaging, Red Alert, Mirage, and a complete G1 Optimus with the trailer. The Goodbye sets, there were two of them, Goodbye Convoy and Goodbye Megatron, they each came with a poster, a fold-out poster, of their respective teams all put together. So this had and that's actually the hardest part to find from these sets, is finding out that poster that came inside of them.
Whoever has this piece has got a cherry piece, it looks like.
Yes. Mm. So this is the Goodbye Megatron gift set. This one, perfect. It's Megatron and Starscream together in a box. Couldn't ask for anything else. This is 1986 Japan, I believe. It also came with a poster. The Megatron did have the blue parts on the inside, and he was not chrome. As for the Starscream, I can't tell what the variants are on it. As I said, there's a ton of Seeker variants regarding the fists and some additional molding details on them. My Starscream hasn't been removed from the styrofoam on my Goodbye set, so I don't want to take them out and look at them. So, but this is not a picture of my set. This is again a picture I found off the internet. So here we're looking at the inside of the box. Megatron doesn't have his rifle accessories, but he does have the scope.
Nice. Which seems, you know, about all you really need to have for Megatron in robot mode. So,
yeah, but think about it. You never saw him in his gun mode without those accessories. Not once.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking to myself, Starscream is such a slob. I mean, here you've got the Megatron's handgun and his scope, you know, the cannon, it, you know, nice and neat and organized, and then over there is just a cluster mess of Starscream's bits and bobs.
Only well, you
that was post movie.
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah. He's been disarmed.
Right. That makes sense.
But bump.
Okay, so here is another rare item that we're looking at from our friend I Am Ratchet, who has a lot of AFA choice pieces. This is Generation 1 Blitzwing. Now, there's nothing special about this toy, but it's this packaging. This is the Generation 1 Blitzwing in a poster box.
Yep.
And that poster box variant of G1 Blitzwing is extremely rare.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure it would be a person.
I would be afraid to ask how much that particular piece is worth.
Well, you know, it's something's only worth as much as you're willing to pay for it. Sure. If you were to offer this piece to me, I probably wouldn't pay any more than $2,500 for it. But that's my opinion. That's just what I feel it's worth to me as a collector. I think some of these have sold for more of in excess of $2,500. Not saying that's wrong. It's just that's kind of like the max of where I would go with it.
Now, Rick, I'm trying to remember because it's been a while. Of course, I remember buying Onslaught, and he had the poster inside him. But again, this was bad. You know, and all that, but. Were the posters limited to mostly your box figures, but I don't remember anything bigger than, say, a combiner leader like Motormaster or them. I don't remember them being anything bigger than that.
Well, except, of course, there was
a Metroplex, wasn't
yeah.
there?
Yeah, yeah, of course. There's the Metroplex with and without the poster, and I believe there's a variant on Skylinks with and without poster as well.
You're right. I remember seeing the Metroplex now, because I turned Metroplex down at a Sears outlet sale for $24 because I didn't have the money. So I had to make do with the Minotaur gift set for $17.
Just make do with it, Don. Yeah.
It would have been worth the overdraft.
You were a child, man.
Yeah, I was 17, and that's all the money I literally had on me. So, but yeah.
So here's another super rare piece. It's definitely in my top 10 of G1 figures to get one day. This is the Target Master Scourge in the box. Nice. While I was working at Hasbro, I was fortunate enough to go into the deep archives, and I did find a Target Master Scourge sealed, cherry, beautiful, it was perfect. And I got to mess around with it. I got to play with it, you know, not take it out of the box, just, you know, pretend in the box that it was flying around.
did it ever occur to you to say, hey, I'm going to take this for sample purposes. I'll bring it right back and then forget.
I can honestly say I never once misplaced a piece of art or a sample from the archives. I can honestly say I never once did that. Other people, you know, who knows, but we've all know that there's stuff that's been on the secondary market from time to time. Now, I don't remember how rare this piece is, but it's been a long time since I felt that I've seen it online available for sale. This is the Abominus gift set, Japanese version. Now, the Japanese version and the Italian version produced by GG are both very rare. I think the GG one's actually a little harder to find. But this is one of those gift sets that's out there, much like the like Piranacon is a tough gift set to find as well in Japan.
And it's interesting to note that the packaging for this does not use that digitized background that the toys from this era typically use. This has more of a, it doesn't even have the Starburst in the background for that matter.
No, it's got the, no, Takara was using the yellow stripe down the side of the packaging for a lot of things at that time.
Well, hey, Rick, now, for years I've heard rumors, and I'm sure John and Carl probably told me this at one point, and I've just forgotten due to what the years passing by, but what about the rumored American, or the releases of the Computron and the Bombus gift set that was like a test market thing? And that, I mean, do those actually exist?
You know, I keep going over and over this battle with certain people. I won't bring their names into it, but there's some people that insist that that American Abominus gift set is real. And I believe me, when I was working at Hasbro, I went through the archives, man. I dug in every closet, every desk. I found a Revenge of the Jedi script one day while I was there. And I cannot find anything that says that that got to the sample stage.
Okay. Because, you know, that's one thing you hear when it comes to gift sets. You through the years, I've always heard that there were a limited number of the Computron and Abominus gift sets released, again, in the Cincinnati area.
Computron. Maybe you're thinking of Bruticus?
No. I'm just saying for years I've heard the same rumor as Computron and Abominus gift sets were sample released or, you know, test marketed released in certain areas in the upper north area of cities, and they did not come out, but there are some supposedly it does exist. But that's what I've been hearing for years.
Well, there are Computron gift sets that's out there.
An American one?
Yeah.
It's the Abominus set that is...
Right.
It's the Abominus set and the Bruticus set that that I haven't... that people rumored that were out there, but I couldn't find any proof that they were. Let's see. What was the BotCon with the Shattered Glass Wheeljack as the free giveaway? Whatever that BotCon was... I remember Brian Savage and I walked around the dealer room, and I think he traded a bunch of stuff, and he got a Computron gift set with the tech specs cut out in the back.
Wow.
Okay. So now we're getting into guys that cost several thousand dollars a piece. I attended an auction a few years ago with Tony Prado from Tempting Toys, and this tape was available for sale. All four tapes were available for sale. Three were sealed. I believe one was opened. And I think they all ended up going for at least $4,000 a piece, and one ended up going for $5,000. In Japan, there were two extra sets of tapes for Blaster, and both those sets would combine. So there were four tapes total. They would combine like a... was it
Grand Slam and Rain Dance?
Right, Grand Slam and Rain Dance.
Or Confuse Box.
Right, into these larger robots. So, help me out with the names here.
Noizu.
This isn't Noizu. No.
Goryu. No, not Goryu.
Graffy.
Yeah.
No. I'm gonna open this.
Decibel.
No.
Dial. Zor.
It's Dial.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Dial.
And Graphy.
So don't touch that dial. This is a tape for Blaster. It was available in Japan. It turns into what looks like a velociraptor type of dinosaur.
Yeah, very raptor.
Might be an iguana.
No, it's very raptorish looking in appearance. It's green, long hind legs, short forearms, and narrow neck, not unlike, I mean, it's you know, overkill turned into a T-Rex, but a T-Rex has a thicker head, shorter neck and everything. This thing here has a more narrow head and a narrower tail as well.
Now, question about the combining cassette teams. I know that you know, these four were available in Japan and not the States. I seem to recall hearing that the ones we got, Slam Dance and Squawk Box, were likewise not available in Japan. Is that correct?
I believe that's true.
Huh.
These are very hard to find.
I have actually held sealed versions of these in my hands. Very gently.
So you're looking basically at a toy, and size does not equate to value.
No.
Just because something's big doesn't mean it's expensive. This is something that's the size of a tape that fits in your Soundwave or G1 blaster, and this is a $4,000 piece if it's in the box.
I would love to know if these molds are still somewhere buried in Takara's vaults.
They were KO'd not too long ago.
They were.
But
all right, so this is Soar. And it looks like he's a Brontosaurus. He's the tape that combines with Dial. He's dark blue. He kind of looks like he has Ravage's head at the end of that long neck.
Yeah.
Red eyes, red stickers for the taped deco. And
sort of looks like he has Slugfist's feet.
It does, yeah. And they combine together into a character called Leg Out. Leg Out. Good name, Leg Out. Both of these combining sets were a little bit smaller than Grand Slam and Rain. Which I always get the names.
Slam Dance.
Yes.
Slam Dance was the combined form of Grand
Slam. Slam Dance. Okay. So these guys, when combined, will stand a little bit smaller than Slam Dance.
Which is strange because they're dinosaurs.
Right.
It's just an all in the way in the transformation.
Yeah.
The volume is still the same. So this is Graffy, and he is a pterodactyl. And all four of these characters are Autobots. He's a red pterodactyl with some black details. Pretty interesting to see where his chrome weapons are at the very tip of his wings. Very, very simple transformation for him. And this is Noise. And he is a T-Rex, but the T-Rex head kind of looks... He kind of looks like G1 Grimlock, but the T-Rex head kind of looks like a dog to me.
Yeah.
He's got really, really big chrome weapons on him.
And the tail is a lot thicker and looks wider than that of Overkill. But it looks like his transformation is very much the same.
Yeah, it looks like it's the same transformation as Overkill, basically.
With a slight change in the tail, I think, though. But yeah.
Hands.
Right. And when their powers combine, they transform into Decibel.
What the living hell is that? Yeah.
Looks like a robot. I mean,
Pterodactyl's doing a handstand, and the other guy's just kind of hanging on behind him.
Yeah. It's a stretch. For the audio listeners, you got Graffy, which is the pterodactyl, as the feet and the chest. And then mounted on the back of the chest, you have Noizu as the arms and the head. And it just kind of, I don't know, kind of looks like a weird...
He looks like he'd be some kind of like generic soldier in an army. Just
well, and the head kind of resembles that of G1 Constructicon Scavenger's toy.
Mm.
I was thinking that somewhere along that.
Yeah, he's got like a visor and just like a chin mouth.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, what we're looking at here, this Decibel, this is the knockoff one. I couldn't find a really good picture of an authentic G1 Decibel for the presentation. So this is the knockoff Decibel that we're looking at.
What was the price of the knockoffs the last time you might have looked, Rick?
You know what? I think they were more than what I wanted to pay. Yeah, they were pretty expensive. I think they were close to $80.
Because I remember looking a long time ago when I first heard about them. It was after the fact. And I remember – all I remember is thinking, oh, my God, I can't pay that for knockoffs. But I can't remember the price. It was just
– I believe the last time I was offered a set was about $150 for a set of two. So, yeah, I'd say about $80 a piece.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like I said, I wish they could go into these molds. Maybe Hydra could go in at one point if he works for the car again and find out if these molds still exist. Because I would keep – can you imagine the how many sets of these they would sell if they could do it as an encore reissue?
Yeah, but think about it. How many collectors know about this? And because there's not that widespread knowledge base about some of these harder-to-find things, do collectors actually care?
Well, I think more people know about this as far as the older collectors, just from all the years of hearing about these things and not being able to find, just hearing bits and pieces through the years. Plus, you know, anyone that's come into the fandom lately might want something a little unique and different that they can't get now. But, you know, it's just this is the stuff lost to the ages that if the mold still exists, it needs to be remade before Don, the mold is lost forever.
Well, Don, here's my thought on that. And I'm kind of along Rick's line of thinking here. How many people, I mean, would it be fiscally worth it to, if they found these molds, to reissue them? Simply for the reason that, one, not a lot of people know about them, and the people that do know about them, there's becoming fewer and fewer of us that actually are out there collecting vintage G1 Transformers. Because, I mean, just look at the aftermarket price of G1 Transformers. We had a spike after the movie, after the first 07 movie, but it's been gradually going downhill. I mean,
yeah, I guess I'm just part of the growing up, and I didn't know about this stuff until after the first BotCon. But that, and say all the stuff from the England, like the Turbo Masters and the stuff, if these molds exist, they need to be preserved. Because, or if they're not going to remake the stuff, at least find the molds and preserve them. Because
there's no money in that for Takara. There's no money in that for Hasbro. Like, there's no point preserving something that you're not going
to
make.
Well, to me, not saving these – I mean, if you're not going to remake these toys for collectors and whoever wants these, the molds need to be preserved, just like, say, original Doctor Who on video. So much of that was lost in the great destructions, you know, because they didn't think anybody would want them. And now you have entire episodes that don't exist anymore. This is the same thing to me. If you don't save these molds just for posterity, then why bother? If you go burn all the Doctor Who from the 60s and 70s, you're losing a piece of history.
Don,
I
got two arguments for you, Don. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with you, but I got two arguments I'm going to throw at you. One is Star Convoy. Hmm. When Star Convoy got reissued, at the time, that was a pretty rare piece until he got reissued. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. And he didn't do very well.
Right. And he got reissued and the thing bombed. I think they were selling them as low as $15 on Yahoo Japan at one point.
Wow.
It's just, I hate seeing stuff like this from the early days.
Well, here's my second thing to tell you, Don. Remember the old Star Wars Kenner lines, the original Star Wars toys?
Yeah.
You know where those molds are?
Where?
Those molds were chopped up and used as ship anchors, Don.
Oh, wow. Oh.
That's
I mean, you're talking about Star Wars. They're going to do that with their molds.
Yeah, you know. It's just – I mean, I know where you're coming from. It's just – it seems like such a waste. It really does. It's depressing if you think.
Well, the thing is, Don, though, you're looking at it from a collector point of view who you're one of the few people who still want these toys. And I admit I am up there with you. I would not mind seeing a reissue of these guys or any of the other rares for that matter. But you got to be realistic. We're thinning out.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm in my 40s. You're in your 40s. You know,
I'm still in my 30s. I just want to point that out to the ladies.
We're all dying.
Yeah. Well,
the thing that a lot of people, and I can see what Rick's talking about here when, you know, things get turned into boat anchors. Most people don't realize the size of these molds. These molds are not a little teeny tiny little cube. Something like this that gets compressed with, like, just the pressure itself. These molds, most of them took 2 to 3 people to move, sometimes a forklift to move this piece.
And not only that,
solid steel thing they stick in a rack. They don't have a warehouse, honestly, probably big enough to even hold the molds for half of these.
Right. Okay. These things are the size of a car. And not only that, not only do you have to store these, the problem is technology has advanced so far that a lot of those Generation 1 toy molds, they may still exist, but the machines that produce today's toys aren't compatible with those molds. Well, so you have to retrograde the machines to make them compatible. And it's not financially worthwhile to do so.
Well, let me ask y'all this. I'm not going to be getting off on a tangent here, but this is something that's for years at BotCon, I had put down on my survey that if Hasbro could find the UK molds, the Turbo Masters, the Lightformers, all that great stuff from the UK that we didn't get over here. See, to me, the lack of articulation is not as important as the niceness of the mold. I mean, do you think we need to see some of this stuff reproduced so at least current generations of collectors can at least see and own a part of history? Or is articulation so important it's killing the older toys that don't have it?
I think your argument's wrong, Don. I think you're looking at the problem the wrong way. You're looking at it as articulation versus a mainstream top tier A character versus a character that people like you and me have a hard time remembering what their names are.
Yeah,
well, it's just not worth the time and effort to bring these back if there might be 150 people that actually give a damn about them. So,
well, to be honest, when it comes to some of these molds, there are some KO versions out there. So apparently, some people have gotten hold of the molds and reproduced them, whether they're legal or not. But the thing is, if people really want to start preserving these, and honestly, this is kind of more or less a shout out to the entire community. There are things called 3D scanners nowadays. Why not 3D scan each piece of this toy, build a sprue on computer that can be produced at a later time?
I love it.
Oh, okay, well,
that is what needs to happen.
Okay, without
holding on to the old molds.
Okay, well now, Plasticon, you and Rick are more into the production side as far as you know what goes on. I didn't realize you could do that because I'm not a very technical person. But yeah, if they can scan these molds, so at least that way the template is preserved, that needs to be done because that is part of our history.
Right, but Don, that takes – I'm trying to give you the argument from the point of view of Hasbro that this is what I heard a lot while I was working there. What's the point of preserving something? It doesn't make us any money. What's the point of having something in a closet that just takes up space? It's not going to make us any money taking up space. What's the point of holding on to all these old molds if they're not going to make us money, if we're not going to use them?
I mean,
what is our financial gain as a company from that?
I'm just saying, and I'll say this and I'll drop it, I know. It's better to have something and not need it than need it and not have it. You never know when these things will come back around and be popular or be wanted or be desired by people that have never seen them and would appreciate the relative simplicity versus how nice some of these earlier toys were. I'm just saying it's better to save them, have them, than lose them forever.
And I agree, Don. I 100% agree with you. But that was a losing battle that I was trying to fight for many years. And when I no longer worked at Hasbro, that there was a huge relief of pressure that just all this weight just dissipated because I didn't have to deal with having to make that argument to people about certain things.
And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to fight anybody on this. It's just this is something that's always bothered me, is how the fandom keep looking at the new stuff. Better articulation, more this, more that. It's better than the old stuff. How Revenge of the Fallen Prime is better than the first movie Prime, which it is. But if we didn't get the first movie Prime, we wouldn't have had that stepping stone to the Revenge of the Fallen. And if I don't want to see this history lost to the ages without at least saving some of it.
Don, this is how I see it. I see this the same thing, you know, Kummel's. Because I'm a film guy, okay? I'm really into movies. I love this kind of stuff. The only way any of this stuff gets preserved if it is passed down to further generations. But it doesn't necessarily have to be the authentic 35mm film that actually fit in the machine, because it's very hard to retrofit that stuff into modern technology nowadays. There's a major process they got to go through with just that. That's even going with the new remastered version of Transformers that's coming out on Blu-ray for everybody out there, the 86 movie. But the thing is, if they did this, you know, Rick heard me, and everybody heard me say this, if they took these molds and they scanned them with a 3D scanner, you can save this stuff into a digital archive and still be able to build the same toys that you desire now, identical later on. Probably with a different process.
I like that idea, Jason. I think that's probably, if there's any way to preserve that, I think that's really pretty much the only option. Because if you did any kind of physical medium, you know, whether it be a reproduced part or mold or whatever, that's going to have to change hands from person to person, and it'll get lost. But if it's in a digital archive, where people are starting to have their own personal 3D printers at their homes now, so maybe one day, you know, this archive could be available and people could print their own, you know, G1 Transformers. They may not be vintage pieces, but, you know, it'd be a way to kind of revisit the past after things fall apart.
I want to mention this real quick. Just, again, I'm sorry about tangenting here. We had talked a long time ago, I believe, about Hasbro getting to the point where they're not selling toys. They're selling digital files that they create that you can buy and download to your 3D printer, and you make your own toy. If these were scanned, that would be more product that's already been paid for that they could make as part of those offerings.
That's a good idea. And honestly, I'm going to tell you right now, I have done a little bit of research and found out the guy that runs RenderForms. There was a guy out there that was trying to go ahead and reproduce the things that RenderForms was trying to put out, right? In order to counter that, he went on to Shapeways and said, hey, it's available. All you got to do is pay for it here. Why is anybody going to go for somebody to try to do reproduction parts from somebody else on some third-party website when the maker himself went ahead and just went to Shapeways and here you go, now you can get them now. That's probably what needs to happen. I agree with you, Don. That's a great idea. I think that would probably fix a lot of the problems, especially for one of those guys out there that needs that rare head masterpiece that you can't get, like a little rifle or something that goes in a helmet. Seriously.
Yeah. Okay. You know, we went off on a rather lengthy tangent here.
And that's me. I apologize, guys.
That's all right. You're all right. You're okay.
All right. So let's move on. We'll try and blow through these ones a little quicker. This is the Transformers Junior Raiden. So for those of you who don't know, Raiden is the Trainbot combiner from Japan, never released in the U.S. And there was a line of Transformers in Japan called Transformers Juniors, which were small versions of the G1 characters, Optimus Prime, Trypticon, Soundwave, Metroplex, Jinrai, a couple different characters. One of the hardest to get ever was Raiden.
Like these guys, these are juniors.
Right, and these are Transformers Juniors. And they were available in a gift set, which is super hard to get. And they were also available in two packs, three 2-packs because there are 6 characters that form rated. And while looking around today for a picture of the gift set, which I couldn't find, and mine's still buried, I found this, which is the first time I've ever seen this. This is the actual combined form of the Transformers Juniors, guys.
Didn't most of those come on blister cards? The 2-packs?
You know, I don't know how the 2-packs were available. I thought they were boxed, because all the Transformers Juniors came boxed.
I wasn't sure, because I thought maybe it might have been just a weird KO I saw of this thing, too, because I think there is a knockoff version of this thing as well.
Maybe of the Raiden, but I've never seen one of the Junior set.
Well, the KO version I saw had 2 bits of it, and it didn't look like, it looked like they were more downsized and didn't have all the crazy stuff that the original Raiden toy did. Like some of the stuff, because if you know, like the Fort Max Jr. doesn't do a lot of stuff that the original one did. And I think some of the engineering, you know, slightly changed because of size. Mm-hmm. And I think the set that I saw was actually a set like this. Now, I'm not absolutely sure, but I believe it was on blister card.
Hmm. Okay. So this is another super rare one. This is the Grand Maximus Transformers Jr.
Fortress Red Alert.
Right. Fortress Red Alert.
That would be an interesting custom. Sorry, I just want to kind of put it on the side. That'd be an interesting custom if somebody actually got one of the reissue Fort Maxes and turned it into that.
Well, there's always the G2 version. So so this is one I've never seen in the package before. The Transformers Junior's Fortress Maximus isn't that hard to find, but the Grand Maximus version, very much so. Very hard to find. And here she is, the first official female character to be released in the Transformers toy line. This is C-303 Minelba. This is the Japanese exclusive. This was their version of Nightbeat, redecoed in white and red. This is from the Masterforce television series.
I hate that. We never got an inkling of this in the United States.
We had the toy. We had the toy decoed as Nightbeat.
Yeah.
We never had the redeco as Minelba.
That's the only Handmaster other than Black Zarak that I have at least some version of. And I've got Nightbeat, but I've always needed Minerva. And
I wonder if there's ever a... Sorry, Don, I didn't mean to...
Oh, that's fine.
I wonder if there's ever an idea to redeco like the Generations Nightbeat or any of that into Minerva. Is there any... do you know if there's ever any
not,
talk?
Not that I've... Well, Nightbeat came out after...
After?
My time there.
I didn't know if he was being developed or what.
I always kind of figured this mold here, Nightbeat or Minerva, either or, would have been neat to see redecorated into like a Headmaster Jazz.
That would have been a perfect Jazz.
Yeah, the vehicle mode is a Porsche here, is it not?
Yeah, it's a Porsche 911, just same thing as Jazz. The only thing that makes it look like it has lights on top is because it's just red plastic. Could have redecoed it all completely white, maybe with a few black bits, and would have been interesting seeing it like that.
Because you just gotta find Trent Troop on Shapeways and have them make you a custom Headmaster that you can download and print.
Because I looked for years, I've got both the Jinrai and the Shuda Masterforce bracelets, and for years I looked for the matching cab in Minerva, and apparently, according to Hydra, they weren't made. Unless they were KO'd somewhere, and I thought I'd at least try to find her bracelets, and they didn't even make those.
Matching.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, see, they released in Japan the kids the role play Master Force bracelets for Jinrai and Shuta.
Yes, I knew that.
Yeah, but for years I was trying to find Cab and Minerva's until I met Hydra, and he told me that they didn't actually make those.
Yeah.
You know, and
I knew they had the Genra. I didn't know they had the
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, in the Master Force television series, the kids, to activate their transtectors, which were the robot bodies, they had bracelets that they would smash together and they'd morph into the
Master Force.
Yeah, they would morphing time into the headmaster.
Just out of curiosity, would you happen to know about how much a Minerva would go for in a box?
It's been a long time since I've seen one for sale. I passed up on one for $400. This was 1998 or 1999.
Wow.
And now I would say she's probably double that, if not more.
The only thing is, if I ever find one that I could afford, quote unquote, I'll be so scared of her just basically photosynthesizing into yellow in a completely dark closet. Because I've got my art fire in a dark closet, and that's no guarantee he's not going to turn. I'll be terrified of this thing just aging into yellow.
Don, if it's photosynthesis, it's going to go clear through to green and bypass yellow altogether. You'll end up with a Botanica.
Well, I couldn't think of the right term, but you know what I mean. I don't want to spend that much money and wind up with a yellow Minerva.
So next is Dino King.
And I wasn't quite sure which version to include of Dino King. Dino King is the combining pretender monster robots that we had in the U.S., which was
Monstructor.
This is the redeco. The robots on the inside were the same. They were redecoed into white, green, and gold, and some blue robots. And then they had all new pretender shells, which were dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Now, Dino Force, it's composed of its 6 characters.
All of them kind
both sets are extremely hard to get. And what I mean by both sets, there's what we're looking at here is the gift set, which is all 6 pretender shells and their 6 robots, but they also came individually packaged. And that's how I have them, individually boxed.
Orson with Captured Prey, BotCon in Chicago. I have a picture of Don holding this set, the Dino King box set, wishing he could pay for it. The price tag, $1,700.
Nice.
It was cherry. It was cherry.
Was it sealed?
No. There was, you know, the plastic, the slime residue that is typical on the pretender shells for this toy, was not present at all. Mm. They were perfect.
Yeah, I gotta say, the ones I have, they do have the residue on them.
Wow, this is another one I need, but it's just out of my price range. I mean, this is why I'm getting the third party from Fans Project.
Yeah.
so at least I've got a representation of the character in a slightly bigger size.
Yeah. That's me. I'm like, I'll never be able to afford or go for the old ones or the originals at the price that they're at. I'm like, I'll just be happy with the third party ones.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to try getting the shelves for the Fans Project one just because.
Too flipping big.
Yeah, and
I love those giant shells.
They are awesome, but they're just they're about no room for them. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're about $100 a piece in addition to the figure. So
I sold Rick my Triceratops because I mean I had it. I intended to get them all, and I'm like I don't have anywhere to display them. So
yeah. Well, so far they've only put out 2 of those pretender shells, and I'm hoping they follow through with the other 4.
They've done the pterodactyl and the tritops, right?
Right.
Well, I'm sure the engineering and actually, you know, the manufacturing process for those large shells is very costly.
Yeah, Fans Project has gone on record saying that the shells, after the first one was released, they admitted that it was a bit of a mistake because they are so costly to produce and so few people actually want them. So.
Right. I mean, it's an injection mold process that really costs a lot. I mean, they're beautiful, but Yeah, I can see where you're talking about.
So, so let's keep on moving here. This is the Dino King set loose, so you get a better look at all the Pretender shells here.
And the shells is actually where it's at with these guys.
I yeah, think. Some great detail on these shells.
Yeah,
and a lot of paint.
I just love the idea that all their handguns that actually fit on the individual robot modes actually fit onto the Pretender shells and give them armor. And like, you know, the whole Dino Rider thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did that in the U.S. version as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
They did do it.
Yeah. All right. So this is another item. This is another gift set. This is Victory Saber. This is composed of the Star Saber and Victory Leo figures, both which are huge, were only available in Japan. And they both merge, so of course it only made sense to make this into one giant, giant gift set. And here's a tiny picture of that giant gift set, how it looked on the inside.
Ooh.
But everything was there, both figures were complete, and as far as I could tell, there's no variations on these between the individual boxed and the two-pack.
That's one of the
Don, I'm sure you've got this one, right?
Don stepped away.
And up in Combiner Wars.
But yes, this is the Lyokaiser gift set from Generation 1.
So this is all six guys. This gift set, the Breast Force, the Breastmasters guys.
I have that.
Who? No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
I do. I got it and Overlord from the guy in Japan that I was trading Legends Bumblebees for Master Force tapes in 1994 for Overlord, and that was 160 shipped.
Wow. Well, I'm very happy for you.
So,
very nice.
But I got something that might give you an idea of how big the Victory Saber box set was. I have this. Watch it, Matthew.
Can we see it?
Yes. The Brave Command Dagwon gift set, satchel gift set, with Power Dagwon and Fire Dagwon to form Super Fire Dagwon.
It's almost as big as Dawn is.
There's nothing quite that big.
Yeah.
No.
So this is we're running out of time, so let's keep moving.
Okay, sorry.
Let's keep moving. Look at this. Wow. We were just speaking about Overlord, Dawn. This is the UK Overlord. Yes, he got released in the UK. And this nice gold box.
Incidentally, with a different box art
yes.
than the Japanese one.
Plus, the purple was a slightly different hue compared to what was released in Japan.
So the gold box version, I believe everything's still the same on the inside as far as the figure goes. The box has the same dimensions as the Takara version, only it came out in the UK. And I put this version in here because while the Overlord in Japan is tough to find, I have seen over the last couple of years that the gold box version is becoming even rarer.
There's two Energon minifigures.
Jim, yeah. What is this called? Quick.
Die Atlas, sir.
This is Big Powered.
Yes.
So this is another Takara gift set.
That's a tiny picture for a big power.
So three guys, Sonic Bomber, Diatlas, and Roadfire, were all sold individually. Each came with a Micromaster. Together, united into one giant box set, because all three combined into a large vehicle called Big Powered. And in base mode, they all become a Micromaster city. They all combined. Diatlas is huge. The inside of the box.
Diatlas is huge.
And I recently held a very cherry version of this one, which sold for, if I'm not mistaken, around $2,100.
I'm sorry. Anytime I look at Diatlas, my brain just screams animated Sentinel Prime. Am I the only one?
Yes.
Okay.
So the Roadfire, which is the red-colored one here on the left for our visual companions tonight, believe it or not, it's actually easier to get him in this gift pack than it is by himself. It's I don't know if I've ever seen a Road Fire for sale.
I actually picked him up at one of my first BotCons in the single box. Him and Sonic Bomber. Because I got Diatlus from the guy in Japan, and then I picked up them at the first or second BotCon. I think I paid like 50 for Road Fire and 60 for Sonic Bomber.
Very nice. Wow. Hey, how about we move out of something that's not G1?
Godfire Convoy.
So this is Godfire Convoy. This is the Transformers Car Robots, or as it was known in the U.S., Robots in Disguise. This is the large leader class Optimus Prime and Ultra Magnus together in one box with the Master Sword.
Which
was a reproduction of the sword from Fortress Maximus.
With the extended handle,
but this is the clear version.
That was a Toys R Us exclusive, right?
Oh, wow.
It was.
I did not even know this existed.
I've got it, Dern. It's on my shelf.
Why am I not surprised?
Sorry, it's Godfire. It's my favorite Optimus Prime mold.
And not as it only is clear, it's been a while since I've seen these in person, Don. These have that glittery clear plastic, is that right?
Kinda, yeah. It's not as noticeable from a distance, but when you get up close, you can kind of see the flaking kind of in it.
Yeah, so it's got like gold glitter embedded in the plastic.
And when the light hits this thing, oh, it's so beautiful.
So moving on to Armada or Micron Legend, this is the Armada Optimus Prime. What was this colored version called? The red.
Was it Magma?
Powerline
Optimus Prime. At least in the States.
Okay. So it's the Takara version of the Power Links Optimus Prime with Overload. But Overload comes in clear red. And this was a Toys R Us Japan exclusive. And it had the little Perceptor Micromaster team redecoed with it.
Ooh.
And this is the back of the box, depending on how it was stacked. You know, you have a picture of the toy on one side or this incredible art on the other.
How rare are the previous one and this one here, the Godfire Convoy and this one?
The Godfire Convoy, I haven't seen in a long time. I don't even want to guess at a price, but the last time I saw one of these sets, which is the Micron Legend set with the Overload, I think it was $450.
Wow.
I think during the last time I saw a Godfire Convoy set on eBay was about 2 or 3 years ago, and it was $800.
Wow.
And that was.
All right. Here's another TRU exclusive. This is from Cybertron. This is another Japan exclusive. This is the Cybertron Optimus Prime in clear with the Wing Saber figure. And it also comes with the, help me out with the name here, Don. Was it Rambi?
I have this. Hang on, let me think.
Don has it.
Well, it was a scrap metal, but that was, I think that was supposed to be Kobe's.
Yeah,
Yeah. So this one had the alternate face on it.
Ramble.
Yeah, that's what it was. So Ramble here, which is the Japanese version of scrap metal from the Cybertron line, had an alternate face, and that alternate face was available in the first ever Build-A-Figure at BotCon, and that was the only time you could ever get that face for that character outside of this gift set.
And I'll be honest, mine is in a box somewhere, and I haven't touched it in forever.
Which Build-A-Figure was that?
It was the first BotCon Build-A-Figure.
The custom patch,
2006?
You're talking about the custom class?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking collect all the figures to build the.
No, I'm sorry. I misspoke. It's custom class.
Well, I'm half asleep, too. So.
All right. Mr. Land. Explain. Yes.
Ah, okay. We've got BotCon Japan 1998 had a set of Beast Wars characters that were redecoed. The one that you currently have on the screen right now, I also have in my hand, in my possession at this time, is BotCon 98 Double Punch, which is a translucent, it's a translucent red version of Beast Wars Scorponok. Yeah, these were, I believe, limited to 600 pieces a piece. The other one is now, this one right here actually belongs to our own Michael Swift. He recently purchased it from me. But Barbarian, which is the brown bear or grizzly bear deco of Polar Claw, Beast Wars Polar Claw, also limited to 600 pieces. They go for around 300 a piece, if you look in the right places. They're really, really nice pieces. You don't get outside of Beast Wars. I don't really think there's any more, of the regular Beast Wars molds that are any rarer, do you?
Not from molds that were released in the U.S. Well, this mold, what we're looking at here, is the Leo Convoy mold, which technically was released in the U.S. via the Hasbro online store. What we're looking here, I kept Lucky Draws out of this because, yes, they are very rare, but again, they've been very heavily photographed. This is one particular Lucky Draw which has not been photographed that often. This is Leo Convoy from Beast Wars 2, decoed to look like Galvatron. He's Galva Leo Convoy, and he is a Lucky Draw figure. Very, very rare to find. I'm going to drop a plug for my friend Tony Prado.
Hi, I'm Tony Prado.
Tony Prado at Tempting Toys. He actually has one for sale sealed in the box. I think he's asking you for $4,000 for it.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Well, Dora, that's
what it's sealed.
That's yeah. Actually cheap because the year that came out, it was either Fumihiko or one of the Japanese dealers had one on display, $7,000.
Yeah, but again, it's only worth what someone's willing
right.
to pay for it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
So having something for sale for a certain amount doesn't necessarily equate to what it could be worth.
Exactly, but I'm just saying when the year it came out at that BotCon, they had one, and it's beautiful in person. But
Fumihiko likes to charge a lot too, so I don't rely on his prices.
And we have the Emerald Unicron, the Lucky Draw Unicron.
Another Lucky Draw item, but again, very rare. This is the Armada Unicron toy, that giant toy, decoed in green.
Which we saw at BotCon this year.
For about $8,000, I think, is what Azusa had it priced at.
I didn't price it. I didn't want to.
I asked him, and yeah, that's I think, Jim, you were standing there with me when we asked.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, I believe he quoted me $8,000 for this toy.
Yep.
It's beautiful.
It might be a little high for me. I probably wouldn't go that high if I had an opportunity to buy one. But
well,
it's definitely up there.
I asked him whenever he said $8,000, I cringed, you know, quite heavily. Like, and he goes, he told me in broken English, extremely hard to get a hold of. So I gathered that, but. I guess I'm assuming he meant it was extremely hard for him to get a hold of. So I guess that's why he's got it priced so high.
In my opinion, you know, if it's going to cost $8,000, I honestly think it needs to be legitimately made out of absolutely every mini con, just like in the show.
I don't know.
And that will bring us to the end of our presentation.
You know, that, I hope a lot of people, if you've been listening or watching this episode, that you have seen or heard about something that maybe you hadn't quite heard of before. If we can, we'll try to throw some of these images up in the thread on our Facebook group. Rick, do you have those handy? You might be able to post.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So check out our Facebook group if you want to see some of these toys that we spoke about tonight. They are not necessarily things that are easily they're obviously things that are not easily obtained, whether it be high price, lack of availability, or what have you. But they are also not items that are typically seen or spoken of very much because of the rarity. You know, lucky draws are a given, like Rick said, that everybody's heard. If you've been a Transformers fan for any length of time, you've heard of a lucky draw. But these things here, mass release generally, or an exclusive of some kind, so not easily obtained. Any of you guys have any closing thoughts on the rares?
For anyone who's listening to this, I'm about to upload all those pictures on our Facebook right now.
Awesome. Well, we ran a little bit longer tonight than we intended, but we hope you guys have enjoyed the show. Please like, subscribe, and spread the word. If you love TFYLP, let other people know if they're asking about Transformer podcasts. If you post on message boards, put a link to us on tftalk.net and TFYLP. Put a link to it in your SIG on message boards. Share it with your friends. Let everybody know that you love TFYLP. We're here every Friday night at 9, as close to 9 as we can get. Follow us on Twitter at TFYLP and also join our Facebook group. Guys? Rick is getting back at us here.
Yeah.
We're giving him hell.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was breathing into my mic. Somebody should have said something rather than write it while I'm screen sharing so I can't see it.
That's quite okay, because this can also be known as the heavy breathing cast, considering people see the prices of this stuff. They make, have a bit of a heart attack.
It's a picture of that that fat cat with the heavy breathing underneath.
Yes. Yes.
All right, guys.
You guys can stop licking your monitors now.
It has a flavor.
This has been another episode of TFYLP. I'm Weird Wolf, along with Headmaster Don, Rick Alvarez, Plasticon, and Moroni Prime. We'll see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure.
That's a threat.
Peace out, you guys.
And a promise.
G2 forever.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.